Unit 13. Part 1. News about a disaster. It is 8 o'clock on Monday, the 24th, November. At least 400 people are feared to have died in a major earthquake, which shook large areas of southern Italy last night. Most of the devastation has been in towns and villages outside the main cities, but there has been panic in Naples, too, as hundreds of buildings have been destroyed. The massive rescue operation, which is underway, is being hampered by appalling weather conditions and a breakdown in communications. The other headlines. Talks are still going on in Washington in a bid to try and avert a crisis in the Gulf. A firebomb went off in a busy shopping area in East Belfast last night, killing one policeman and injuring several bystanders. Angry teachers have voted to continue their lightning one-day strike action as pay negotiations once more break down. And Princess Diana flies off to the sun, leaving her husband to look after the children. As rescue work continues in wide areas of southern Italy, it is becoming increasingly more likely that the present toll of 400 dead will rise much higher. The tremors were felt all over Italy, from the French border to Sicily. But the worst damage appears to be in small towns and villages, many of them very isolated, outside Naples. Naples itself has also been badly affected. In a little village about 60 miles east of the city, scores of people are thought to have died as the earthquakes hit a village hospital and a local church, as well as many private homes. It appears that there was an evening service going on in the church at the time. In Naples, it was the old part of the city which was worst affected. Many buildings of 8 or 9 stories broke apart and collapsed as the earthquake hit at around 8 p.m. last night. Panic broke out in the main prison. Tear gas was used, and prison officers fired machine guns into the air to try to prevent a riot. A large proportion of inhabitants spent the night in the open in the streets or squares, and as smaller tremors continue, more chaos has ensued as townspeople rush for the countryside, blocking roads and causing traffic jams. Telephone lines have been broken and electricity and water supplies are failing. The fog and cold conditions are making rescue operations very difficult in some of the remoter parts of the south, particularly where road conditions are not very good. Our own correspondent has been to the disaster area and sends us this report.
Part 2. Business Update.
The time is 6 o'clock, and here is Business Update with Gavin Scott.
Unemployment has risen to over 3 million for the first time in 6 years, and analysts expect the jobless total to rise by a further 40,000 this month. Manufacturing output has meanwhile steadied after a 0.5% decrease last month. It is thought that today's rise in the unemployment figures could put pressure on the Prime Minister to cut interest rates, though the Bank of England have denied that this is likely. Guinness, Britain's largest drinks group, has announced plans to make 700 staff redundant at its United Distillers subsidiary in Scotland. Union officials have said the job losses are unnecessary. Claire Travers reports.
The redundancies are part of a move by Guinness to improve productivity. But the news of the redundancies has been badly received here in Scotland. I spoke to some of the workers at a United Distillers factory.
It's unnecessary, isn't it? Guinness are always saying we are the world's most profitable spirits company.
Aye, we're making a profit. We're not making a loss.
It's devastating. It will destroy entire communities.
Guinness strongly deny that communities will collapse as a result of the job losses. They say they will improve investment and business. The group's cost-cutting measures also extend to Spain, where they will make job cuts at Cruz Campo, Spain's largest brewer, employing 30,000 people. Guinness bought Cruz Campo 2 years ago to expand into the fast-growing Spanish economy. The Spanish beer market shrank by about 5% last year.
The tobacco industry had today hit back at the Department of Health about cigarette advertising. They've issued a report arguing that cigarette advertisements do not encourage people to smoke more and that they only encourage people to switch brands. The report is based on data collected from more than 90 countries around the world. It conflicts with figures issued by the Department of Health last month, which suggested that banning advertisements would result in a drop in consumption. A spokesperson for the tobacco industry said, "If a product is legally available, then it should be legal to advertise it." The Conservative MP, David Willett, has called for the government to raise the state retirement age to 67 for both men and women. In a report published today by the Social Market Foundation, Mr. Willett argues that raising the pension age would cut at least £5 billion from the Social Security budget. He also suggests that some of the savings should be plowed back into higher state pensions for the over 80s. And finally, in preparation for the introduction of high-speed trains, British Rail is recruiting volunteers for an unusual job. Ruth Mallon has the details.
British Rail's volunteers will be tied to posts next to railway lines while high-speed trains pass by at 140 miles per hour. The experiment is designed to test the effects of turbulence, and British Rail hope to establish whether it is feasible for maintenance teams to work while the new trains are running. Many British Rail staff have already volunteered for the tests, and surprisingly, so have more than 50 members of the public. A British Rail spokesperson said, "People have been ringing in to say, we think it sounds exciting and we'd like to try it." One caller described it as the railway equivalent to bungee jumping. British Rail has thanked all volunteers, but say they will only be using experienced staff.
And that's all for today. The next news is at 7 o'clock, and we'll be back again at 6 o'clock tomorrow with Business Update.
Part 3, a news broadcast.
Have already been destroyed. Police said that about 500 homes were washed away by floods after Wayne struck the west coast of the island yesterday, bringing driving rain and winds of up to 84 miles per hour. The typhoon flooded wide areas of Taiwan and crippled communications and power supplies. All domestic flights were canceled yesterday, and Taipei's Chiang Kai-shek International Airport was closed for about 5 hours. Government radio reported that two passenger ferries had been sunk but gave no details of casualties. The work of emergency relief teams is being hampered by blocked roads and the loss of power and telephone communications in central regions. It will be some time before we hear the final casualty figures. This is Peter Donnelly in Taipei.
There will be another report from our correspondent in Taipei in the 9 o'clock news tonight. And now here is a roundup of today's news. Police in New York last night seized 33 kilos of pure heroin with a street value of $70 million in what officials said was one of the biggest U.S. drug seizures in 10 years. The one-month-old occupation of a Michelin tire factory in Belgium ended today when workers voted to accept an agreement which guarantees them full pay for a year. The Soviet Union will help India prospect for onshore oil under an agreement signed in Moscow today, the official news agency TASS reported. And the main news today, 29 people were killed and 10 were reported missing when Typhoon Wayne ripped across central Taiwan last night. And now over to Bob Taylor.
Violence erupted in Ulster late last night after a loyalist parade in the mainly Republican village of Rasharkin, County, Antrim. Bottles and bricks were thrown as opposing factions clashed, and 8 RUC members and 2 civilians were injured, none of them seriously. 9 people were arrested. Police estimated that 150 people had been involved in the violence, during which the windows of 2 pubs and 3 houses were smashed. Also in Northern Ireland, a part-time policeman has been injured in a terrorist attack in Ballymena, County Antrim. He was hit by shots fired from a car. His condition after an emergency operation is described as stable. 7 men in Stoke were in custody today following a double stabbing which left one man dead and another injured. The pub fight was at the White Lion in North End Crescent and spread to a nearby fish and chip shop. 2 motorbikes were set on fire during the incident. Police have appealed for witnesses to come forward. And an 83-year-old pensioner, Bill Williams, of Chettleham, found himself in trouble with police over some innocent-looking plants. A passing drug squad officer looked into his greenhouse and discovered that the plants were, in fact, cannabis. Mr. Williams says, "I've never used drugs in my life. I just thought the plants looked nice." The police say there'll be no charges. And now a travel flash from Jenny Browning.
We have a message for drivers traveling south on the M6 in Lancashire. An accident on the southbound carriageway of the M6 in Lancashire is causing congestion and delays between junctions 32 and 31 near Preston. Drivers are asked to take extra care on the approach as the warning signals are out of function. The road should be clear in about an hour's time.
Part 4. Financial News. A. The pound plunged to its lowest level against the dollar for 4 years as the American currency soared to a new peak on the world's financial markets. Share prices received a shock yesterday when the government increased interest rates to 15%. As a result, the FTSE slumped 42 points, closing at 2,281, its lowest level for 10 weeks. Mixed Data announced reductions in its workforce yesterday. Because of a small dip in profits, the company is in the red for the first time. Yesterday, in a major collapse on the Tokyo stock market, the Nikkei average plunged 559 points because of the failure of the powerful New York bond market and because of a sudden surge in profits from its overseas operations. Drexel is back in the black after 2 years of disappointing results.
B. Now with the business news, here's Neil Cassidy.
Good morning. Well, there's nothing like an attack of nerves on Wall Street for unsettling the world's stock markets. Already, an overnight plunge of 53.71 in the Dow Jones has had an impact in the Far East. As a result, the UK market is likely to be depressed later this morning. The Dow fell almost 2% to 2,882, ending a rally that's been going on for several weeks. Here's Richard Cray from New York.
Yes, as the Dow Jones has risen steadily towards the 3,000 mark, there's been a lot of uncertainty here, particularly about the economy. Dealers say that in the absence of the drop in interest rates, the market is a little depressed, and a lot of people have pulled out because they felt nervous about corporate profits.
Back home, having fallen 21 points yesterday, the London share market badly needs good news to improve the situation. However, rumors that Britain's trade figures for the next quarter are disappointing again will not help. Now the market numbers. Tokyo has fallen sharply in line with New York, the Nikkei down 274 at 321,027.7. That's a drop of 1.5%. Because of the fears that Congress may still impose protectionist measures against Japanese imports, the market continues to be jumpy. That's all from the business news. More news at 6:20.
Thank you, Neil. And now back to Anna in the...
Part 5. Listening and Translation. 1. Sentence Translation.
1. We have every right to ask why employees' views have not been considered in making these changes.
2. I think the key to the whole thing now is cooperation. But what we have had in the past is just denial and conflict.
3. the minister announced major changes to workers' compensation procedures, including changes to legislative definitions that would widen access of injured workers to compensation.
4. A United States study showed that 1 in 4 people had lingering fright from a movie or TV show they saw as a child.
5. No one seems to be sure what role the foreign military force is playing in the current unrest in the densely populated areas.
2. Passage translation.
1. If you're planning to retire and wish to maximize the security of your capital, or would like a guaranteed income, or simply to minimize your tax, let us take the worry out of your retirement. David Thompson, who is a leading advisor in this field, is happy to work with you to plan for your retirement. Start planning now. It is never too early. In fact, there are a number of planning strategies you could be implementing now that may help to lessen the taxes that you could otherwise incur in retirement. We encourage you to take advantage of our offer to have a confidential interview. This will cost you nothing, only your time.
2. Perhaps most of us would fly into a rage when hearing that we are similar to a monkey. But in fact, we must admit that we do share many fundamental characteristics with a monkey. From the point of view of evolution, for instance, man originated from the anthropoid millions of years ago, while the modern monkey is similarly found to be descended from the ancient ape through long ages of evolution. Besides the resemblance of the social organizational pattern between man and monkey is conspicuous. Men are gregarious and generally live in groups, and monkeys also live, play, and act together, and are led by a monkey king, which has an absolute authority over the other monkeys.